Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to look at that passage that we read this morning, Galatians 1, 11 through 24, looking at God's message, God's man, and God's mission. Because I want you to see that you have a message of God's Word. That you are that man or woman, and that God has a mission for you. Yesterday, as I was doing everything else under the sun, and actually we were painting Veronica's room, and then there's a knock at the door. So, there's a knock at the door. Kids always love to go get the door. They run, get the door. And I'm painting. I thought it was probably one of the neighborhood kids. And guess what? To my delight, to my utter delight, guess who it was? It was a Jehovah's Witness. I was so excited. He came to the door, and I greeted him heartily, and we talked. I don't think we got a whole 10 minutes before he decided that he wasn't going to get anywhere. But I had the opportunity, because God had so divinely directed his life, I mean that, to bring him to my doorstep. God's divine appointment was for me to be God's man, to share his message, because that is his mission. Now, while the Jehovah Witnesses believe they are doing God's mission, I shared with him what the Bible says. He didn't like that. But it was worth it. I enjoyed it. I was a little disappointed. I wanted to take it on longer, but I was tired of painting. When we think of great missionaries in the Bible and outside of the Bible, especially of our era, our culture here in America, some of the names that come to mind are William Carey, the great missionary to India. That was back in 1761 to 1834. He was joined by two other men, and in their ministry, they founded 26 churches, 126 schools. They translated the scriptures in 44 languages. They produced grammars and dictionaries and organized India's first medical missions. They created the savings bank there, the seminary, an Indian girls' school, and a common language newspaper there. So they were very busy. Carey's attributed with being five different missionary boards across the world as missions took off. India was a popular place, that area down in Burma near India was Adoniram Judson. You may know his story a little bit. He learned the language very thoroughly, creating a dictionary, translating the Bible into the language of the people. He composed a lot of literature as he ministered and shared the gospel there. You might recall the name David Livingston, Dr. Livingston, I presume. Dr. Livingston was missionary to Central Africa. These men and their great works that they have accomplished, their reputation from beyond the grave of their diligent work and efforts and their hearts and love for people, the people that was missing so much. More familiar, perhaps, James Elliot. Him and a group of four other guys that went down to the Ecuadorian Indians and never got the gospel out before their lives were taken. But God used that so that as their wives went down to complete the work, as many were saved, including those who had taken the lives of those missionaries. boy, some of these missionaries are really great. What about you? Do you think you could do that? No, we couldn't do that, could we? There's no way. We're too old. We're too crippled. We're too young. We don't know enough. There's not a chance in the world that you could ever be one of these missionaries, is there? You've already decided in your mind. And because you've already decided that, that's what's going to happen. What impact will you leave? Can you leave an impact in the world? There's no reason you can't. The message is not your own, it's God's. The work is not something that you've come up with, but what God directs you to do. Paul is the one that we might think of as the most successful or the most popular, most well-known missionary. He, from Jerusalem, had really gone over a lot of the earth. He'd gone up to Turkey. He'd gone over to Greece, even over to Rome, possibly even into Spain. He had God's message on his heart. How did he get that message? Well, look here in Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 11. But I made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. He says, I've got a message. The message that I'm sharing with you. What is the message God has for the world? He says to the Galatians, you've been tricked. You've been duped. What's wrong with you? Don't you remember what you learned? Didn't your dad ever say that to you? Or your mom? Didn't I tell you? And guess what? Yes, they did. But did you listen? No. Do you know why you didn't listen? For a very good reason, didn't you? Obviously, parents don't know a lot. We know better as kids a whole lot more than our parents. After all, our parents, they don't even know how to use Facebook. They can't set the VCR, the DVD player. They don't know how to do that. So obviously we know more than they do. Wasn't that what your attitude was? You could take care of yourself. What did they know? They hadn't been to school, or when they went to school, all they learned how to do was start fire with rocks. Maybe they went to the advanced class and used sticks. Paul says, I told you what the gospel is. Who tricked you into something else? Who caused you to think that you also had to do these other things? If anyone shares anything but the God-given truth that was spoken by me to you, let him be accursed, whether he be man or angel. And he says it twice to them to emphasize it. Paul here, he has the message. He says, I made it known to you, the gospel, but wasn't preached by me, not according to man. What he was teaching them wasn't according to what his own writing was, what somebody had told him. He didn't come up with it in his mind. I think this would be a great way to get people to follow a God. That's not how it came to him. He wants them to know it's not his message. The gospel is not something that he sat down and came up with. There's a lot of people who say, well, Christianity, the Bible was written by one man. And Christianity is all one guy's whole thinking. They obviously hadn't even read their Bible. Just by reading it, you could see that it is, as one person put it, a man that man could not write if he would and would not write if he could. Well, think about the message of the Bible. The Bible is composed of 66 different books in perfect unity with each other. Not only that, but that individual has to be so skilled and crafty to write in different ways. I'm not talking about poetry here and history here. I'm talking about the style that he used, the words that he used. We go to the book of Luke. If you're a Greek student, you go to seminary, college, and you learn Greek, you don't want to translate from the book of Luke. Why? This is a very educated man. He's a doctor. And he writes like a doctor. Have you ever seen your doctor's writing? You can't understand it, can you? The book of Luke can be very difficult. But then, on the other hand, there's John. And John couldn't be more down to earth. The book in itself, a man couldn't write that skillfully, that unified. He couldn't write it with that simplicity and yet depth of knowledge of God. At the same time, why would a man write this book? You know the message of the Bible, don't you? You're a sinner going to hell and ain't nothing you can do about it. Isn't that a great uplifting message that we like to share with everyone? When you look at the kinds of books that are out there, what kinds of books are they? You can do it. You can do it. It may seem impossible, but with enough therapy, with enough meditation, with enough oomph, you can do it. And there's some truth to that, but it'll never get you to heaven. Who writes a book that says you're going to hell and there's nothing you can do about it? That's absurd. So it's a book that man couldn't write if he wanted. And why would he write a book like that, even if he could? All but thanks be to God for his grace as he shares not only our lost condition, but the great salvation that we have as well. Paul's writing here is saying, I did not come up with the gospel. It's not by human origin, nor is it by human tradition. It's a religion that people have come up with and added to as the years have passed. It's not that way. The Bible is not simply tradition. The Bible is God's truth. He wants them to understand clearly what you believe is what God says. How is it that you can have a Jehovah Witness knock at your door and you answer it? How is it that you can confidently stand before them without any doubt and say, I know what I believe is truth? Not because someone here taught it to you, but because you looked at God's Word and saw what it says. Because you believe what God says. How is it that you're at work and you're talking about maybe the healthcare law? And in the healthcare law, you as taxpayers or even more directly are going to be paying for the abortions, the slaughter of innocent children. How could you even impose your own beliefs on what somebody else's does? You have no right to tell a woman she can't choose. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. What does God say? You see that? The foundation is God's Word. That's why it's important for you to understand it. It's not something you made up in your head. It's not some kind of, well, we Baptists have always held to this belief. It is based on what God says. And therefore, you can go confidently that way. Paul is speaking confidently because he's speaking God's message. It was direct from God. There is no question where he got it. For neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You might remember back on that day when Paul, his name at that time, Saul, he had gone in and secured permission from the temple leaders, from the religious leaders, to go and get rid of Christianity, to kill that cult, as he viewed it. And so he grabbed those papers and marched off towards Damascus. He was going to imprison or kill anyone who proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ. They were toast. Burnt toast. They were not going to survive. They were going to quench this thing as best as they could. And then on the road, he receives a divine revelation from Jesus Christ. Jesus, who looks down and says to him, "What do you think you are doing? Do you really think this is going to work for you to fight against God? Why are you persecuting me?" Jesus asks. Saul was gloriously saved. We find here in Galatians that during a 3-year and then we find a 14-year gap in the book of Acts, during that whole time, during the 3 years while he is in the Arabia, that he is receiving instruction from Christ himself. So that he says, "I am apostle as one born out of due time." His message is not his, it's God's. You have in your hand, you have the Word of God. If God was to come down and stand at this pulpit or sit right next to you, what would he say? It's right here. He's telling you about himself. He's telling him about you. He's telling him about Satan and the way Satan wants to work in your life. He's telling you about how he wants you to be saved, how he wants you to walk according to his Son. It's right there. If you think of it, you might title your Bible, Conversations with God. It is God's message. And God's message has been given to God's man in this case, or woman in your case. Who does God use to spread his message? I find it quite interesting that in our day and age, God does not use direct revelation in order to communicate his message. He could. He could put up in the sky, in a language, in languages, in every language, in every dialect, he could put his message, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved," in an explanation of who Jesus is, who he is, who his Son is, and what it means to put a person's faith in him alone. God could do that, couldn't he? Very easily. After all, he created everything. Why doesn't he do that? Because he wants us to do it. He wants you to do it. We find here that Paul says, "You heard about the former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond all measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced the Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." This is what he's writing against. Who he was is what he's saying, don't fall into that trap. if I could put it to today. I was a Catholic, and I believe what the Catholic Church said, but the glorious gospel came into my life, and I understand it now. So that while perhaps we're not, but if Park Lane Baptist Church were, so that while Park Lane Baptist Church is trying to grasp at some of those traditions and those teachings and followings, that's where I was. So don't go there. That's not the truth. The Jehovah Witness, maybe you were Jehovah, I don't think anybody here was, but if somebody here was previously Jehovah Witness, and you're talking with somebody else that's here, they say, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses do this and that. And I think it's probably a good thing. They believe this way and that way. And you could say to them, no! I have God's message! And it was shared in my life. And because of that, I can tell you that's not the right way. That's what Paul is saying here. And not only this, he himself was used. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. He's saying back before I was born, God had already laid out having selected me to do his work. He separated me. If you have money in your wallet, I know miracles like that do happen though, right? If you happen to have a $5 bill in your wallet, then you take it out and put it in your pocket and you say to yourself, this is for McDonald's afterward. Well, they don't have their Shamrock Shakes, so you might choose somewhere else instead. That is separated for a particular purpose. Paul's saying, before I was born, God had put me in that pocket to be his witness. He had selected me for this very purpose. What about you? Has God selected you? He has. He selected you to do what? What are you doing? What should you be doing? What does he want you to be doing? He said, not only did he select me, but he called me through his grace. I was gloriously saved when Jesus Christ worked in my life. When I put my faith in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation, and God saved me. He says, I was called by his grace. So he selected me, he saved me, and not only that, but he changed me. He says, to reveal his son in me. God didn't take and save me just to say I'm going to heaven. But he wanted to reveal his son in me. When Jesus Christ did his work on the cross. When you were saved, you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. God wants you to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. To reveal to everyone else who Jesus is. Jesus is not here on this earth. Not physically. He being God is. But at the same time, as his physical body is not. So how do others see Jesus? How did others see God the Father? Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It should be so true in your life. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you walk obediently to your Lord, it should be when people look at you, they see Jesus Christ. Where are you in that? Does your life reflect Christ to the degree that someone might mistakenly call you Jesus? Not being blasphemous, but the character of your life. If not, what do you need to do? He was commissioned that I might preach him among the Gentiles. God selected him to do this. God has selected you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is not for the 12 apostles. It was directed to them, but it is for you as well. Are you being his witness? Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Even though it was said to his followers, you being his follower today, it applies to you. Are you going and preaching the gospel to every creature? See, God has a mission, a specific mission for you. God has his message. You are the instrument that God is using to declare that message. And it is your mission. Your mission to talk to your neighbor. Your mission to talk to the campers. Your mission to talk to your coworkers. God has placed you where you are for the specific express purpose of you being able to minister to those people. Whether it's people that come to your house or people whose house that you go to. Whether it's the place that you work or the place that you pay your bills. Let me ask you a question. How incredibly difficult is it to go out here this morning to the track rack? I always thought that was a cool name for it, the track rack. That's what it is. Go out there, pull out two tracks. How incredibly difficult will it to be for you when you go out for lunch to leave it at the table or give it to the cashier or give it to the waitress? How difficult would it be next time you see somebody on the street or in the store or in your neighborhood? Maybe the Jehovah Witness. And say, I'm glad you came. Here, this changed my life and it can change yours. How hard is that? You are the instrument God is using for that. God has a specific message. And you are the person. Have you even considered going to Africa? To Brazil, to Ecuador, maybe to an extremely foreign land like Iowa. The natives are savage there, but they too need the gospel. Have you automatically dismissed what God's doing in your life? Have you stopped listening? Have you refused to be God's man or woman to deliver His message? To perform the mission He has called you specifically for. God may not call you to Africa, Canada, or Iowa. He's called you where you are now. Are you doing the mission? God has separated you and called you. He has changed you by His gospel. And He's commissioned you. Will you take His message, be His man or woman, to do His mission? Father, I ask that you would help us that we might be diligent in what you've called us to do. I thank you for those men and women who we support around this world that do proclaim your word. Father, I thank you for everyone here that has placed their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask if there's somebody here that has not placed their full trust in you, that they will understand your gospel and that they will put their trust and what your Son, Jesus Christ, did by paying the full penalty for our sin on the cross, so that by simply putting our trust in Him, we can have that promise of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, and that assurance of being your son or daughter. Father, I pray that you would help us, that we might be diligent in accomplishing the mission that you've set before us, here on the street of 60th Avenue, here in Omaha, here in Nebraska, in the nation and around the world. Lord, I ask that you would direct in our hearts and guide us such that we might honor you. I pray this, that you would bless us in doing so, in Jesus' name.